Oh no, we ought to all be saying that God is good all the time. But in the last year or so, God has done so many great things in my life that, you know, people ask, how's it going? And, you know, I can truthfully say, it's going wonderful. And God has been good to me. And, you know, the truth of the matter, the greatest understatement of human existence is the statement that God is good, or that God has been good to us. And I understand that He has, and I'm not reproving anybody for saying that. I say it all the time. But the truth of the matter is, God is far beyond good. The Bible says that God is great. In verse 3 it says, great is the Lord. And then it says, greatly to be praised. And then it says, His greatness is unsearchable. God is great. To say that God is good is like saying, it's okay to be saved. You know, like if you're, you know, you get around the old fellas or ladies or whatever, and say, well, what's it like to be saved? Who says, oh, it's okay, you know, it's cool, you know? I'm telling you, it's great to be saved. It's great to know that you're not going to hell. It's great to know that your sins are washed away. I'm glad that my slate's clean in heaven. That's a great thing. Listen, if you had as many things on your record as me, you'd know what a great thing it is to me. But in God's eyes, and most of you here know that the Bible says all have sinned. You did have a slate like mine, and it's great to be saved. It's not okay to be saved. God is more than good. I'm saying this morning what I want to talk about is God being great. The Bible tells us that He's great. You know, the ink fails us because great doesn't describe what God is. But there are some passages. I'll run through a few and then we'll look up a few. For the sake of time, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. The Word of God says that God is great. We may say God is good, but the Bible says that God is a great God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible said in Ezra, bless the Lord, the great God. He is not only a great God, He is the great God. Amen? God is great. In Psalm chapter 95, turn there, you're not far from there. Psalm chapter 95, or Psalm 95, or however you choose to say it. In verse 3 also, the Bible says, for the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. Our Bible tells us in the New Testament that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. His greatness is unsearchable, and He is greatly worthy to be praised by folks like us. Amen? We are a needy people. Over in Titus, turn to Titus chapter 3. We are a needy people, and we have a great God that not only is able to meet our needs, but He's willing. Thank God for that. He's willing. We don't have to, you know, spend a lot of time on hold talking to God. He's there. He's ready. He's able. And He desires to meet our needs. We just need to understand that our God is greater than our problems. Amen. We have a God that's greater than all our problems. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, I put more faith in my problems than in my God, my God's ability to solve them. Amen? But we have a great God, and our God does great things, and great doesn't seem to describe Him, but the Bible uses the word quite a bit, so we're going to look at it. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy 32, the Bible speaks of His greatness. In verse 3 there it said, but I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. And in 1 Chronicles 29, the Bible says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Now this is how the Word of God describes God. And when I look at some of these passages, that's when God is good, just doesn't seem to do the job. The Bible said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Amen. God is great. God's greatness is written about many times in His book. His attributes are great. In Numbers chapter 14, it says, "Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy." Amen? His mercy is great. I like that. I've had more than my share of God's mercy in my life, and it took great mercy to change my life and forgive me, and I'm glad that He's got great mercy. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "For God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us." He's got great love. It takes great love to love folks like us. Amen? You thought I was going to say me again, didn't you? No, it takes great love to love folks like us. God's got it. He's a great God. The Bible said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" He's provided us with the salvation that'll do the job. Amen? The only one that could do the job. There's a song that said, "They searched through heaven and found a Savior." One day I was thinking about that. They did not find a Savior when they searched through heaven. God came Himself. Amen? We have great salvation because of the great mercy and great love of a great God, a wonderful God whose greatness is unsearchable. God is wonderful. God is great. I love the Lord. I cannot get over what He's done for me. And I'm not talking about just the physical things I can see. I'm not just talking about the fact that I'm not going to heaven or not going to hell. I'm talking about in the way I look at things. He changed. I can't explain it. He changed something in me. I can't get over that. Amen. I can get in the flesh just like we all can. But the truth of the matter is, when I'm sitting alone in my chair, at my desk with God looking at that book and going over different things, situations, sometimes problems, I really just don't look at things the way I used to. Thank God. It took a great God to do that. Amen. For me and for you. Psalm 79 says, "Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve those who are appointed to die." The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. You and I were prisoners of sin, appointed to die. But we don't have to die and go to hell because of the greatness of His power. I'm glad His mercy's great, His love's great, I'm glad His salvation's great, I'm glad His power's great. Amen. Psalm 150, go back there, and we'll look at verse 2. Psalm 150. The Bible says, "Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness." Boy, He is worthy of our praise. Amen? Because He's a great God. I see God move in this congregation different times and see God speak to hearts and people get up and testify and just, brokenly, praise God for what He's done and ask God to help them and then praise Him when He has helped them at different times. And the verse that sticks in my mind is who art man that God is mindful of him? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a great God that we have that's concerned with our problems? And this isn't a message, but I'll tell you, I've seen in the last 6 months, just taking little things, I'm talking about as little as the weather on a given day, to God, and just, asking God to let my kids see some dolphins last week. After an hour looking for them, I just thought, well, why don't you ask God? Or 2 weeks ago, and I just sat there in that little boat out there in the bay, and I said, Lord, it sure would be good if you'd let these little girls, and two of them just came up. It was like He just lifted them up. You might say, well, that's just coincidence. Well, that's fine. My God's great, and my God answers prayers. And I believe it. I'm telling you, He has amazed me with He's considered. We forget to ask Him about the little things. Amen? He wants to hear about that. He's that great. Amen? He's that great. I'll tell you what. You know what? Then I caught myself, after He did that, I looked, and I went, oh, thank you. Because we'll ask Him for little things like that, and then I'll bring it to pass. And then we'll forget to thank Him. Well, that might limit how quick He responds to you next time. Amen? Because we, like preacher said, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen? If you're saved in here this morning, there was a time when you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt how great God was. You know, we're prone to wander, like the song says, and the Bible teaches. And, you know, there's times you don't even have to get backslidden just to get to the point where your focus isn't on all the things of God. That's why we have to be in church as often as we do. That's why we need to be preached to. That's why we need to get in the Bible every day, because we're just prone to get our mind on our own worldly problems. And that's just part of it. And God provided a way for us to deal with that. We have each other to encourage one another and a pastor and all that. But the truth of the matter is, if you're saved, there was a moment in your life, there was a time when you had to have known how great God was. Because that had to have been a moment where you knew where you were headed because of your sin. And it took a great God, a great Savior, great salvation, great love, all these things to turn your eternal destination from that place where you deserve to go to that place called heaven. Amen? His greatness is beyond our comprehension. Turn to Job 37. Well, let me read that one. Job 37 says, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. And great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. God is great beyond our comprehension. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. God is great beyond our imagination. I mean, we cannot fathom. We don't have the language. Not only do we not have the language to describe how wonderful God is and how great he really is, we don't have the language because we don't have the imagination either. You know, we cannot comprehend it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Those things that God hath prepared for those that love him are great things. Amen. We can't even comprehend it. We cannot imagine. It says, neither has it entered into the heart of man what things God hath prepared for them that love him. I'll tell you what, it's sad, but turn to John 1. It's sad, but not only can we not comprehend how great God is, not only can we not imagine how God good is, but, you know, for the most part, we are unable to even recognize how God is, how good God is. And that's why, like I say, we keep coming to church, stay in our Bible, so that we can be constantly made aware just how great, how wonderful he is. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. The next verse said he came unto his own and his own received him not. Thank God verse 12 is there. The Bible said to us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm thankful for verse 12 in there. I'm thankful that one day I received him. I'm thankful that one day I came to know what a great God we have. Amen? God is great. You know, in the courtroom, we sang that song this morning, to God be the glory, and that's exactly, just exactly who deserves the glory. Amen? A God and only God. But the first time I don't know if it was the first time I heard that song, but certainly the first time it really stuck in my mind was in the courtroom. Some of you remember November 22nd, 1991. How many were you there in the courtroom that day when I got sentenced? And it was packed. It looked like a church service in there. And that was definitely the first time Judge Rice's courtroom had ever looked like that. But, I mean, I even walked in jokingly. Of course, I wasn't nervous at all, right? Amen. I said, what are you going to sing, George? You know, just like. But, you know, when that was over and God had great mercy on me, and you know the story, the people that were there from this church sang, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Amen? God's done great things. What I want to talk about this morning is great things according to the Bible. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 45. Jeremiah chapter 45. Great things. While you're turning there, in 1 Chronicles 17, the Bible said, O Lord, for thy servant's sake and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness, making known all these great things. In Joel chapter 2, the Bible said, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. The Lord will definitely do great things. Over in Luke chapter 1 and verse 49, the Bible said, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Great things is the subject this morning. The song was appropriate, amen. The preacher's not talking about myself to describe how great God is. But, you know, we've got a great book that tells us and guides us and directs us if we'll let it. Amen. Okay, first part on great things. The Bible says there in Jeremiah chapter 45 and verse 5, we're going to look at the beginning of the verse. It says, "And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." Now, this sticks in my mind because that other Spurgeon guy, he was applying for seminary, and he was put in an anteroom at this theological seminary in London. And he was told to wait there, and punctuality was very important at that time. It ought to be now, amen, but it was really, really important back then, 100 years ago, or actually about 140 years ago. And the dean of the college that he was applying to, the theological seminary, had set a time for him to have an appointment, but the secretary, or whatever the case may be, had put him in the wrong room. So when the dean finished his appointment that he was engaged in, he went to the room where he thought Charles Spurgeon was going to be sitting, and he wasn't there. And Charles Spurgeon sat there for an hour or so and finally left, and he missed the appointment. And it took a while, you know, before he was, they got the misunderstanding straightened out. And of course, when they did, they gave him another appointment. And when Spurgeon was to go back to apply to go into the seminary, the Lord showed him that verse, and he said, "And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." And he never did go to seminary. Amen. Because he knew his own flesh that he'd probably start taking credit for some of the things that God really deserved the credit for. And we've got that same issue in our lives. We need to be careful not to get to a point where we're doing so much that God isn't getting the glory. I'll tell you what, when we start doing great things for ourselves, and many of us are capable by the grace of God of doing some great things by human standards, by the grace of God, there's some talented men in here and ladies too. But I'll tell you what, when we start seeking great things for ourselves, then God stops getting the glory for the things that happen in our life. And we need to be mindful. The Bible addresses the issue. He says, "Seek them not." Amen? Some of us will never experience some of the great things that God has done and will do because we're busy seeking great things for ourselves. Amen? Many talented, gifted folks whom God has blessed lose sight of some of the blessings of God because they start taking credit for things themselves. The flesh loves that. Even I said last week when I gave testimony, we were going to be closing on the houses last week, and that all went great, and by the grace of God, we're moving. But, and Susan and I both, we prayed fervently about that, and for not for the houses to sell, but for God's will to be done, whatever the case would be. And we promised that we'd give all the glory to God. And she stood up, and I looked at her and reminded her of that promise, and she stood up and gave the glory to God. But God forbid, my wicked flesh, I caught myself saying, "Yeah, I've lived in Beaver Creek 3 months, and I sold a house and bought another one." And that's how our flesh is. Because we'll get in there and we'll start taking credit for the things that God done. Let me say publicly, I didn't do anything by the grace of God. I didn't come out looking like the biggest idiot in the world on this. God has done great things for me. He's done great things for you. But when we start seeking greatness in our own right, according to our own ability, the Bible says, "Seek them not." God's not getting the glory. You start getting the glory. God will step down, step back, take a back seat, and let you run. And then when you need Him, He'll bring these things to your remembrance. We need to be careful of that "I will," "I'm going to do," "I did" mentality. And that's rampant in Bible-believing Christianity today. Amen? It's a very dangerous thing when we start looking at other people and we see, "Oh, that person's involved in this," or "That person's involved in that, and their life's a mess," or "This person's life's off track." Whether they're saved or lost, let me say this morning that it's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. It's not you and I. It's been some of us. And the grace of God got us back on track. Amen? We need to remember. We need not to forget the great things that God has done. The Bible says over there in James 1 how dangerous it is if we forget. The Bible says to be a hearer and not a doer. We're like a man that looks at his face in a mirror. Tom preached a great message Sunday night about does your life please God? Held up that mirror. The Bible said that if we are a hearer and not a doer, that we'll be like that guy looking in his face and walk straightway, forget what manner of man he was. I'll tell you what, we're in great danger when we start forgetting what manner of man we were. What manner lady you were Because when you do that, you'll forget what manner of Savior it took to save you. It took a great Savior, a great Lord, who's done great things. Amen. And He deserves the glory. The Bible says, seekest thou great things for thyself? The Lord replied, seek them not. Turn to Isaiah 14. When I see that I will, and even in my own life, when I catch myself saying, I'm going to do this, or I will, or I hear another person bragging on themselves, I mean, some of us, some of us have tendonitis. It's not from the computer, amen. It's not from sports. It's from patting ourselves on the back, amen. We need to remember Isaiah 14. The Bible says there's a character in Isaiah 14, and I will seems to come out of his mouth an awful lot, amen. Isaiah 14 and verse 13, the Bible says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I'll tell you what, you can read through that, and you can give that all together and realize that that's Lucifer and all that. But if the Bible says in verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Y'all tell you something? I don't want God bringing me down. Amen? The Bible says over there, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And Brother McGee, he made a point one day, one of the things he preached, and if you don't humble yourself, God will do it for you. If we don't stay down, if we don't keep things in the right perspective, God can put us in our place. Amen? Listen, I'd rather stay down than have to be brought down by God, because God is great. His judgment's great as well. Amen? James 4:15. Amen. That's okay, sir. 4:14? 4:15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. Amen, preacher. Thank you, sir. Make a note of that. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. When we start saying what we're going to do, here's the verse that we need to bear in mind. James 4 and 15 says, for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's exactly the case. Thank you, preacher. Amen. The first thing in great things in this message today was us in our relationship to God. And remembering that He's on a throne, He's great. And the only thing great about us is Him. Amen. His mercy, His love, His grace. Amen. We start seeking great things for ourselves. He'll take a back seat and He'll let us go. And we need Him. We don't need Him in the back seat. We don't need Him as the co-pilot. Amen. We need Him in the pilot seat. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I'll tell you something. And, this is redundant. When God started directing my paths, my way started going a lot better, and so did yours. And if God's not the one directing your path tonight, oh my, you're in a perfect place today to get that straightened out. Amen? Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. First, great things, seekest thou great things for thyself? Lord says, seek them not. Under great things, number 2, Acts chapter 9, and verse 16. The word of God says, Christ speaking to Ananias says, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I came out of a church down south. I gave my testimony at Church of God. And my mom and dad, they had got a ride home with some relatives, and I was driving their Lincoln home. And, whether or not I should have, I don't know. I almost felt embarrassed walking out to this town car. And I'm giving my testimony in there about being a crook, and just something didn't click. And I said to the lady, I said, that is not my car. Now, listen, if God gave me a car like that, that'd be fine. But He didn't, and I didn't steal it or anything. That wasn't my car. And I told this lady, or she was just standing there, it was just people talking and passing. I said, that's not my car. And she said, oh, brother, God wants His children to have the best. Just pray for it. You can have a car just like that. Where there's a mentality amongst Christianity, and that is like a loose translation or description or definition right there. I don't know how much Christianity there is to it. There's a mentality amongst folks that go to church in this country today that everything's supposed to be fine. You know, life's supposed to be a bowl of cherries if you're saved. And if it's not, if you don't have a beautiful home in the suburbs, if you're not driving a brand new car, if you're not healthy, wealthy, and wise, it's because of your lack of faith. Amen? There's a problem with you. And my Bible, I've read it, you know, a couple of times now, and I don't see that. As a matter of fact, we refer to Paul as a great missionary and great preacher and great Christian and all that he is because he had a great God. Amen. But, I mean, one of the first, before he even knows what's happening, God has commissioned a man to tell him, I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Did a great thing by forgiving his sins. Did a great thing by giving him a home in heaven and all that. Giving him a great thing by calling him. But that was going to include suffering. Amen. And we live in a mentality where, you know, we blame a lack of faith. We live in a day and age where the mentality is, if there's a problem in your Christian life, it's because of your lack of faith, and it's not Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. I don't know what the NIV says there, but my Bible says shall suffer, not might, not, you know, possibly. It says shall. In Acts 5, the Bible said, and they departed, his early disciples, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Listen to me, there's a lot of suffering can go along with being a Christian and living according to the Bible and separating yourself and getting some standards about your life and things like that and trying to live holy in this present world, godly. It's possible, amen. But there's some things we have to suffer sometimes, but I'll tell you one of the things we don't want to suffer, and that's shame. Okay, that's really hard for a man. A man doesn't want to, we want to respond in kind, amen. And a man doesn't want to be pushed around or bullied or shamed. And the Bible says here that these guys accounted, they rejoiced that they're kind of worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. I'm glad the early church wasn't ashamed of the gospel. I'm glad they suffered shame because the late church is doing very little of it. Amen. Amen. I'm glad Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The Bible says over in 1 Peter, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Amen. That's suffering for doing right. In 1 Peter 3, the Bible said, but in verse 14, but and if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And verse 17 said, for it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Listen, a lot of us suffer in this life, even though we're Christians, even though our sins are paid for, even though we're washed in the blood. There's suffering goes on in Christianity today. A lot of it's because of sin, amen. A lot of it's because of selfishness. A lot of it's because of stubbornness. Hey, a lot of it's because of stupidity, amen. But very little of the suffering going on in Christianity today is for his name's sake. It's for Christ's sake. These early disciples counted to rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. How many Christians do you know in this day and age are suffering for Christ's sake? Not many in America. Amen. Not many of us. Some are, but not many in America. John 15, you know, to counter what they say, that the health and wealth mentality, the Bible said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Christ said, don't be surprised if you're not received. And 1 Peter 4, it said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. And that's the Christianity we live in today. The Lord told Paul, and you know, and as we think of Paul, we think of all the great things that God used him for. But in his commission, he was told that there were great things that he was going to have to suffer. That's just part of it. I remember when I joined the club when I was 22 years old, I was told, I've given the ground rules. You will die young, or you will go to the penitentiary. And I accepted. I accepted that. And, you know, went on in that life. Listen, folks, when you got saved, the Word of God says that if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. Just accept it. It's not strange. Maybe God's just trying you. And I mean, that's a whole other subject, why Christians suffer. But the Bible says that Paul suffered great things. Think it not strange that we suffer sometimes too. Amen? Romans 18, Romans 18. You can always go to Romans 8 and it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So just bide our time. He's coming back. Amen. 18. The Bible said, "And when he," speaking of the Lord, "was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." And in verse 19, the Bible says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." If you're saved in here this morning, the Lord has done great things for you. Bottom line, no matter what your situation, no matter what's going on, and preacher says it often and it's true, we have no right to complain. If you're not headed for hell, the place you deserve to go because of sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're saved, if you've been washed in the blood, if your sins have been forgiven, if Jesus Christ lives in your heart, you have got nothing to complain about. God has done great things for you. He tells this old madman in Gadara to go and tell others. Everybody that's saved can do that because God's done great things for everybody that's saved. We need to remember that when things aren't going real well. And if you're in here this morning and you don't know Christ, God's done great things for you by letting you live long enough to get inside a Bible-believing church where you'll hear the gospel presented so that you can get saved. Amen? So if you're on your way to hell this morning, you still have no right to complain because you've got time to do something about it. Amen? In Psalm 126, the Bible says, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Let me ask you, are you glad this morning about things? I know what it's like getting up and coming to church and had a great change in my agenda several months ago. And Miss Sue, she went to the jail. And then it's me and five kids coming in this morning. And thank God Abigail and Peter and everything, they keep things going pretty smooth. But the truth of the matter is, you can get caught up in getting ready and forget that we're supposed to be glad. Are you glad this morning? Amen. I'm not complaining. I hope it didn't come out that way. The Bible says the Lord has done great things for us. God's done great things for me. Amen. God's done great things for you. Amen. Maybe we need to remember that God has done some great things. Maybe we need to remember that each and every one of us that's saved has got a commission to be an ambassador for Christ and to tell others. He told that old madman, "Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done." The Lord's done great things in our lives and changing our destination in eternity. For many of us, He's done great things in our lives here, even though sometimes it involves some suffering. That's Bible. That's part of it. You signed up for it. Amen. No matter what, God's done great things for us. He's a great God, and we have no right to complain. You know, every saved person ought to be able to tell of the day God saved you. You don't have to be a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary. You don't have to know anything about preaching to be able to tell someone about the day God saved you, saved your soul, and changed your destination in eternity. Because at that day, at least, you understood it. Amen. And you should be able to relate that. But I've heard preachers say it from the pulpit. That shouldn't be the only thing. The only great things God's ever done for you in your Christian life. Some people have been saved 20 years, and if you ask them for a testimony, the only thing they've got to say, a great thing that God's done in their lives, is the day they saved them. But I'm here to tell you, folks, that God is willing and able to do great things on a regular basis. I'm talking about on a daily basis. What about prayers answered? Amen? That's a great thing. I've seen God answer prayers concerning myself, my family, my children, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've seen God answer prayers in almost every life in this room. If I've known you very long, I've seen you pray, I've seen you burdened, I've seen you broken, and I've seen God answer prayers. That's a great thing. It takes a great God to be mindful of us, and we need to be reminded of that. Amen. What about God's protection? Listen, it doesn't take... I started getting the newspaper a couple of months ago because living with Sue is like being Amish, you know, and I've been cut off from the world. So I started getting a newspaper. And you look through it, and look, people are getting killed, people get hurt. It's crazy. God protects us. And that doesn't mean nothing ever goes wrong. But we need to be thankful. We need to understand that it's a great thing that God has done it just the way He protects us. Just the way He provides for us. Being saved shouldn't be the only great thing God's done in your life. For many Christians, it is. But it's their fault. Listen, if you're not getting blessed and guided by the Word of God, it's because you're not reading it. God will use it. If you're not getting blessed and guided by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, it's because you're not in church. It's not God's fault. God is interested in doing great things on a regular basis in our life, but we have to submit ourselves to it. Amen? God's done great, great things. Just giving us the Word of God is a great thing. Just the fact that we, not only that we have it, but that we are among a minority that knows that we have it. You know, those folks out there that use all them funny book Bibles, they got the Word of God too. But they don't know it. And they don't own it. They don't use it. They don't believe it. But it exists. It's available. And just that fact alone is a great thing. That God kept the promise that He made in Psalm 12 to preserve it from that generation forever. I'm glad that I've got the Word of God. That's a great thing. We've got a great book. Amen. Some of the great things God's done, and I'll close. He saves us. He selects us. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." He sanctifies us. He separates us. We'll let Him. Separates us unto good. He supplies our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. He even spanks us. Amen. The Bible said to every son whom God loveth, He chasteneth. That's because He loves us. Amen. One day, He's going to sound a trumpet for us. And I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Would you hear it? We read in a previous verse that His voice thundereth. You know, if God sounded the trumpet this morning, I'd hear it. I'd hear His voice say, "Come up hither." Some people are just going to hear thunder. God's done a great thing by making salvation available to folks like us. And I'm glad He's coming back for us. We've been talking about a great God. We've been talking about His greatness. We've been talking about great things that He's done. There's more than that. I've got great news for you this morning. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, no matter how long you've been in church, no matter how religious or spiritual you think you are, whatever the case may be, you can get in on this today. That's how great it is. Sin of the whole world was paid for when Christ died on Calvary. If you're in here today and you're not saved, your sin's already been paid for. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You must receive the gift. You must accept what Christ did. But it's great news that it's still happening. That God's still saving sinners. Amen. Still willing. Still able. Still desires to. That's great news to me. Amen. Preacher, you come. I'm finished. God's done great things for me. Amen.
Salted that with a little preaching. Somebody have a testimony you'd like to give? We have a few minutes. Brother?